Well, hey, church. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to welcome you if you're new or if you're visiting. Great to have you here with us as we continue our series in the book of Exodus. Let's pray and then let's see what God has to say for us tonight. Father, as we open our ears to hear you tonight, we pray that we would not be like the foolish person who hears you speak and then forgets it. But help us to be like the wise person who hears it. It sinks into our hearts and we're changed. And we pray that in your precious son's name. Amen. Well, there's the story of the man who's new to Australia and he's from another country, another culture, and wanted to fit in, wanted to learn English. And so he developed this habit. Anytime someone asked him, "How are you?" he'd smile and nod and say, "Busy, busy, busy." And he was onto something because that's just what we do. How many times when we're asked, "How have you been?" we respond with, "Busy, busy, busy." A few people actually said it to me tonight. I won't name names, but we all do it. We're so busy. There's work deadlines. There's assignments that are due. There's phone notifications popping up on our screen that's distracting us and making us frazzled. There's friends to keep up with. There's kids to drive to appointments. We're all just so busy. I talk to people from church who've recently retired, and they tell me how surprised they are at how busy they are even then. And, you know, technology has not helped. I was reading this week about 100 years ago, people guessed that because of technology, by about an hour in 10 or so years' time, we would all be only working 15-hour weeks. That's what they thought would happen 100 years ago. Opposite has happened. We're working more than ever before. You think AI is going to help? It's not. It might save us some time. We'll fill it. We'll be just as busy as we ever have been. In fact, cultural analysts say that we're one of the cultures that puts our identity in our work more than any other culture. We live for work. We live for what we do. And we're irritable. We're restless. We're distracted. We're constantly reactive, not proactive. We're tired. And we just want a break. We just want rest. And that's what God wants for us too. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at those Ten Commandments that we just heard read. Next week, we're actually going to look at most of the Ten Commandments as a whole. This week, we're just doing a bit of a preview and only looking at the fourth commandment, which is the commandment about taking the Sabbath, about resting. The reason we're just looking at that one is because we've got our year's theme on spiritual renewal. And so we're going to focus on that one tonight. Let me read it again. It's up on the screen as well. Exodus 20, verse 8. The commandment is, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." That word Sabbath, it just means stop and rest. Stop and rest. God is telling the Israelites, his Old Testament people, that they're to work for 6 days. Work's good. God made work. He loves work. Work for 6 days. But on the seventh, stop and rest. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian or you're new to church, and the last thing you thought you would hear is that God wants you to have a day off. Maybe you're thinking, "Sign me up now, I'm in." In fact, it's funny. Historians have studied the idea of a weekend or just a weekly rest and tried to kind of work out where did this idea come from. Because in the ancient world, the idea of resting was just a weird idea. People just worked the whole week. And it seems like no one's found any other place except the Israelites. This really is a novelty. God coming up with this idea that they're to work and then rest. For those of you who've been a Christian for a while, I don't know about you, but this is one of the commandments that we tend to skip over. I mean, do not murder, of course. Don't steal, yeah. But take the Sabbath one day a week? It wasn't long ago, though, that shops in Sydney were closed on a Sunday. Nowadays, it's the opposite. I mean, there's more and more sport happening on Sundays, and all the businesses are open, and it's as busy as ever. But, you know, for modern-day Jews, from Friday night to Saturday night is the Sabbath, and they take this seriously. Their elevators are programmed to stop automatically at every level so that they don't have to press a button, because that's work on the Sabbath. Is that what we're meant to do? What does it look like for us as Christians to obey this command? Once a week, rest. That's what we're going to look at tonight. I've got three questions. The first one is, what is the Sabbath? Second question is, what does Jesus say about the Sabbath? And the third question is, how do we practice it today? How do we practice it today? The first question, what is the Sabbath? And we need to see the Sabbath, it is more than just a me day. It's more than just you going to the day spa or just, you know, Netflix and just relaxing and spending some quality time on your own wellness and your own well-being. It's more than just a day off. It's more than just a day about you. It's a day for God. It's a day to stop, to rest, and to worship God. You know, we're so busy going from thing to thing that it's so easy to get caught up, and we just need those moments to stop and reorient ourselves and remember who we are and who God is. There's a quote on the screen. This is what one writer says. The Sabbath provides a weekly reset to our priorities, attitudes, and goals so that we return to our callings of the other 6 days with the clarity and perspective that we need to live in a way that pleases and honors our great God. See, here's the thing. When we rest, it actually requires a lot of humility. Because when we rest, we need to be able to say, okay, I'm going to, for one day, not open my emails or not do my work, and it's going to be okay. The world is not going to fall apart because God's got this. You see how it actually requires trust. To say, God, I trust you. You're in control, not me. You don't need me to run the world. I can take a day of rest and it's going to be okay. I trust you. In the commandment here, God reminds them that Sabbath is modeled on what God himself did when he made the world. He made the world, if you're familiar with the story of creation, 6 days he made the world. And the seventh day, he rested. Now, it wasn't that God was tired. He didn't just need a nap. He was stopping and delighting in what he had made. And he was weaving into creation this rhythm of working and then rest. There is a rhythm of rest in our lives, in our bodies, in our world, a rhythm of rest. Work for 6 days and rest. Because we're made in the image of God. And so if God worked 7 days and then rested, so should we. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, hang on, I'm an extrovert. Okay, that's all right for the introverts. One day resting, I can't do that. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I'm really busy. Like, I can't just not do anything for a day a week. Well, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for you. We're going to talk later about how we put it into practice. But it's not just about remembering God at creation. In the next chapter of the Bible, in Deuteronomy, God talks about the Sabbath again, but this time he reminds them, he wants them to remember how he rescued them. Have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 5, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. What's that verse saying? The Israelites, they used to be slaves in Egypt. That's what we saw at the beginning of Exodus. Now, slaves don't have a day off. No slave is getting a day off. They're working hard. It's hard work. It's hard labor. But God, in his love and his grace, had rescued them from slavery. He'd freed them. And he wants them to remember they are no longer slaves. They're free. They got a new identity. They belong to him. They're his free people. And so, to remember that, he wants them to rest. To stop and rest and remember how God had freed them. And of course, for us today, we haven't been in slavery in Egypt, but we've all of us have been in slavery to sin. And through Jesus dying for us on the cross and rising again, if we trust Jesus, Jesus has freed us from slavery to sin. We have been rescued from slavery to sin and freed and forgiven. And so we too, just like the Israelites, can stop, rest, and remember that we have been saved and rescued. Do you see how the Sabbath is so much about God? Remembering that God has woven into this world a rhythm of rest for our good. Remembering how God has rescued us. Remembering who we are as his children. Well, that's all in the Old Testament. But one thing you need to know about the Bible, if you're new to Christianity, is that the Bible's a story. The Bible's a story. And so what we need to do is read it as a story. And as we read it today in Macquarie Park 2024, we're reading it after Jesus came. So how does that change the Sabbath? Are we really not to press any buttons on the elevator one day a week? Well, have a look at what Jesus says, how Jesus changes the Sabbath. This is from Colossians chapter 2. It's on the screen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are but a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. When my daughter Hannah was born, it was in the middle of the long lockdown in 2021. And so my son, Caleb, couldn't meet his baby sister for 3 or so days. Wasn't able to go to the hospital. And so he was staying with my in-laws at the time, and they printed out for him a photo of his new baby sister. And he loved that photo. He looked at it. He carried it around with him so he could see his baby sister, 19 months old. He was 19 months old. And I remember the day, though, when finally he was able to meet his baby sister in the flesh. He walked into our living room, and I think he was carrying the photo. And he met his baby sister, and he saw the delight on his face. And we helped his 19-month brain work out that this baby he was looking at was the same baby in the photo. As that moment finished and passed, I don't think we ever saw that photo again. I don't know what happened to it. I guess we threw it out. But he didn't need it anymore. He had the real thing. He had his baby sister in front of him. The photo pointed to the real thing, but now he's got it. What does he need the photo for? And so it is with many of the Old Testament laws. They're shadows that point to Jesus, the real thing. And so when Jesus comes, Jesus fulfills those Old Testament commands. That's what Colossians 2 says about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, don't let anyone judge you about it and whether you keep it or not, because they're a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. Jesus has fulfilled the Sabbath. How? Well, what Jesus said, we heard it read before, Matthew 11, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus is giving an invitation to everyone here tonight. Come to me. Come to me. Those of you who are tired, those of you who are weighed down by life, who are burdened, come and you'll find rest for your souls, rest deep within. You no longer have to be working for God's approval. God already loves you through Jesus, and you can have rest. You no longer have to be striving to matter. You matter to the one who made all things, and you can have confidence and rest in that. You have the security of knowing that your sins are forgiven because Jesus died for you. Rest. Imagine carrying a backpack filled with heavy rocks, all the burdens of your life. And Jesus loves you so much, he says, "Take that backpack off, give it to me. Let me take your burdens. Come to me. I want to give you rest for your souls." See, religion says it's all about what you do. You do, obey, so that you earn the approval of God, not Jesus. He says, "Come to me. I've done it all. I've died on the cross for you. I love you. I've given up my life for you. Come to me and find rest. Freedom for your souls." That's why in the book of Hebrews, later in the New Testament, it says that if anyone who's a Christian who believes in Jesus has entered the Sabbath rest. You see it there, Hebrews 4:3. And then later in Hebrews 4, in the next slide, it says this: "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Saying, if you trust Jesus, right now you've entered the Sabbath rest because you're trusting Jesus, you got rest for your souls, your sins are forgiven. And the day will come when you'll be in heaven and you'll be in the perfect Sabbath rest. No more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, all gone. Pure joy for all eternity. That is the Sabbath that is fulfilled in Jesus. It's why Jesus, in his ministry, he copped so much criticism from all the religious leaders who saw him healing people on the Sabbath. How can you do that? Saw him feeding himself, plucking grains on the Sabbath. How can you do that? And Jesus said, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath. It's for me, and you've added in all these man-made religious rules that just miss the whole point." The Sabbath today is fulfilled in Jesus. It was a shadow that has pointed to the reality who has now come, and the invitation for you and I is to come to him. So, does that mean that we just ignore the Sabbath? Does that mean, you know, you got the Ten Commandments, just cross out the fourth one? Doesn't matter, irrelevant. I don't think so. We do not have to obey the Sabbath as Christians, but we get to. We don't have to obey the Sabbath. It's not a law for us like it was for the Israelites, because it's been fulfilled in Jesus. But we get to, because it's God's wisdom. It reveals God's heart. It reveals God's wisdom. He has made this world for our good. And in his wisdom and love, he has designed us to work and then rest. The Sabbath is a gift to us to stop, rest, and delight in God. Not a law. Not that we have to do it, but that we get to. So we've got to be careful not being too legalistic and religious about it, because we're not under it as a law, it's wisdom. We've got to be careful of not adding too many rules, and it's going to look different how you do the Sabbath based on your life stage, based on your circumstances, your personalities. But it is still God's gift to us, and it would be foolish if we ignored it. What does it look like? Well, perhaps it's whatever you do the other 6 days of the week, on that seventh day, you do something different. Something that restores your soul. Something that allows you to delight in God's creation, delight in who God is. Might be gardening, if that's your thing. I can't think of anything worse, but maybe that's it. Might be exercise. It might be turning off social media, not checking anything for the day. It might be inviting people for a meal at your place after church, or going out to a cafe with someone. Or it might be ringing someone from church you know is lonely and suffering and checking in on them. It might be talking to your friends or your kids or your parents or your spouse about what you learnt at church or what you've been reading in the Bible. It might be that this is the day that you serve God. You do ministry. You're working, serving at church, and you're serving and blessing people. On your Sabbath day, it might be the day you want to give others rest. So you babysit for the parents that got kids so that they can have rest. You make someone a meal. You visit someone sick in hospital. And look, there's going to be times, you know, perhaps you do need to work on that day. Maybe you're on call as a surgeon. Maybe you're a stay-at-home parent and, you know, 6 days you're looking after the kids. You can't stop that on the seventh day. Still got to change nappies, still got to do all that. But there's something you can do that makes that day different, that makes that day intentional to stop and enjoy God and rest. I suggest doing all you can to guard that day. Commit to it, put it in your calendar, set boundaries around it, because otherwise just the craziness and busyness of life, it'll crowd it out and you'll end up using it up working just like you normally do. It actually takes planning. Do you remember a few weeks ago we looked at the manna that God gave in the desert? He gave manna every day. They went out and collected food, the Israelites. And they would collect food every day, just enough for the day. But on the sixth day, do you remember? They were to collect twice as much. Because on the seventh day was the Sabbath, so there wasn't going to be any. So that meant on the sixth day, they actually had to plan. They actually had to go, okay, so the Sabbath is tomorrow, so I've got to collect twice as much today. So for you, that might mean tomorrow is your rest day, and so you are going to be doing all you can to get that uni assignment done today, because you ain't going to touch it tomorrow. Am I speaking into someone's heart right now? Or you got that work project due, and tomorrow's your rest day. And so you're planning ahead and you're going, well, I'm going to guard this day. And so if you can, if you're able, you're telling your colleague or your manager, I need another day. I need two extra days. I'm sorry, it's delayed, because you're doing all that you can to protect that day. It might be getting chores done in advance. I don't know what it is, but protecting the day to rest. And if you're thinking, well, I can't do that. I'm just so busy. I just got to do all 7 days. Well, again, you might surprise yourself that you get more done in 6 than you do 7. Because in God's wisdom, he's made us to rest. I think there's a word for us, for those in the room who are bosses or managers. I know some of you are, actually, and many of you will be. Those of you who got people that work underneath you. Do you notice in that first commandment, it says, take the Sabbath, you shouldn't work, neither should your sons or daughters or your slaves. In other words, make sure those that work underneath you also rest. You know, in the ancient world, the rich people, they didn't have to work. They could rest. They could kick back and relax, while their poor people did the work for them. It's only the rich that got to rest. And God says, no, I want equality. Everyone needs to rest. So maybe for those of you who lead people or manage teams, it's making sure that those you manage have fair work hours, have time with their family, have time to exercise, have time to rest and look after themselves. Now, what day is it meant to be? That's the thing that Christians have debated, you know, is the Sabbath day a Sunday? Look, I don't think it has to be. That's my opinion. I don't think the Sabbath has to be a Sunday. I think it could be any day. But certainly, the early church, they started to call Sunday the Lord's Day. We see that in the New Testament. It was the day that they gathered for church, because that was the day Jesus rose again. There's something natural, I think, about making Sunday the Sabbath. There's a naturalness to it, because you're already gathering to be part of God's church. You're already making that day significant. It's for God. You're coming together to worship God. You're coming together to serve each other and do ministry and enjoy community. There is something so significant. And so we got to guard that day. It's getting harder with kids' parties and sport and whatever it is. And sometimes it almost seems like I'll go to church as long as there's nothing else on, rather than the other way around. But I don't think it has to be a Sunday. Again, let's not get too religious and legalistic about this. We don't have to obey it, we get to. It is a gift to us to stop, delight in God, rest our bodies, and enjoy his creation. But friends, I want to end with that invitation. It's for everyone tonight. Jesus is saying to you, come to me. If you've never done that before, he's saying it to you. And even if you're already a believer, he's still saying the same thing. Come to me. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you struggling? Are you suffering? He loves you. He died for you. He wants to take your burdens and give you rest, rest for your weary soul. Let's pray. God, we praise you. For you are a God that is never tired, never needs to sleep. You run the world 24/7. without lifting a finger. And we can sleep and stop knowing that it's all going to be okay and that you've got this. We praise you. Deepen our trust in you. Help us to build into our lives a weekly rhythm of resting, of enjoying your world, of remembering how you've saved us and forgiven us, and of worshiping you. Lord, we pray, Father, that we will be people who delight to do good, to serve others, and enjoy you as we rest. And we pray this.